Blog Talk Radio.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down away from cleansing from sin, I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to His name, give shining glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. Bear to my heart as the blood applied, singing glory to His name. Now I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me, and I'm singing glory to His name. Keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. To my heart was the blood applied, singing glory to His name. The precious fountain that saved from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. But Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. I'm singing glory to His name. We keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. Bear to my heart with the blood of life, singing glory to His name. Now come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into death and be made complete. I'm singing glory to His name. We keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood of light. I'm singing glory to His name. Keep singing glory to His name, precious name. Glory to His name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to His name. Amen. I heard of a story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about His groaning, all His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Forever He sought me, and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me, and I knew Him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. And I heard about his healing, all his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, hey, Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And some sweet day I'll sing the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with redeeming love. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. And I heard about the mansion that he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the shrine of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing a better song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and now my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. For he plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. We'll say one more, and then we'll get started with communion, with prayer, communion, and then the Word of God. Amazing grace. Amazing God's grace and peace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was world lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have to grace,
me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no last days to sing, sing God's praise. That when we first begun, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer and prepare ourselves for the communion. Father God, in the sweet name of Jesus, Father, to you we give honor and praise today, thanking you the very best we know how. Thanking you for just allowing us to get up this morning and experience another day of your wonderful grace. Thanking us for another day to allow us to experience another day of your wonderful blessings. To see the things that you have prepared for us, Father, and the challenges that you have for us to overcome. Those things that may be difficult at times, but are character building. And so, Father, we thank you for just the opportunities of life. For us in the opportunities of life, we learn to get a deeper faith and a deeper relationship with you. Father, help us to trust no one but thee, to be able to wrap our arms around many. But, Father, in all, we want to be able to trust thee, knowing that you have never lost a case, you have never past your bags and were left on us. You have always been there, and you said you will be with us to the end of time. So, Father, we love you, we adore you, and we thank you for your promises, those Abrahamic promises that you've given to your children. Father, those things that you ask us to continue to stay strong in. But we don't want to forget that substitutionary place you did for us on Golgotha Hill. And so we just thank you, Father, in remembrance of that, even at this moment, remembering what you did, what you experienced during your ministry, a man who had not sinned, who took on the sin of the world, all the sin wrapped up as one big sin, placed on the shoulders or on the head of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as they mistreated him beyond compare, he still was mission-minded. He had all the strength and the ability to get off and to fight or have angels fight for him. But instead, rather than take a shortcut, rather than have them think that they've been victorious, they thought in his death that they had won. But God saw fit that in his death that victory would be overturned. So, Father, we just thank you for Jesus today. Thank you for what he's done. Thank you for having remembering us, and thank you for allowing us to be reconciled back to you so that we too may have a right to the tree of life. Oh, I don't know about some, Father, but I want to go to heaven. I'm working to go to heaven. I'm living to go to heaven. And I'm trying to rid life of confusion down here. I understand that a Christian is going to suffer persecution, and a Christian will never be sinless, but it's said we should sin less and less and less. And we know you're not the author of confusion, that the devil is. So that we also, too, need to be a peace-minded, peacemakers, and be able to lie down behind close to the green pastures. We too need to be able to get confusion out, chaos out, so that we can allow you to come in. Oh, Father, we adore you this morning. We come to you again in regards to Sister Sandra Smith and her family, her daughters, and the Corner Village congregation, the wonderful sermon by Brother Leonardo D. Gilbert today, encouraging that great family and that great congregation to stand. Brother Gilbert said 3 points. Said Charles, when he was last seen, he was seen smiling. He said Charles, when he was last seen, he was last seen standing. And then he said Charles, when he was last seen, he was last seen serving. And that was a wonderful way to go. Father, we pray that if it be your will, that whenever our time comes, it will be done in a manner that will be pleasing and acceptable in thy eyesight. That we still will be standing. That we still can manifest the smile. And that we still will be serving thee. For the greatest among us, you said, will be our servant. And Jesus was the greatest servant and the greatest example that mankind will ever see. So today, Father, we love you, we adore you, and we thank you for the word of God. This is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, and we ask you, Father, to continue to be long-suffering with us as we continue to strive to make heaven our home and continue to work out the idiosyncrasies and all the caveats that we need to in order to be able to make heaven our home. Father, life can be hard, but we know that you're harder. Father, we know that you are, when we are weak, that's when you are strong. So help us to lean on your everlasting arm for strength, for support, and for love. And help us to be able to despair, help us be able to receive the ingredients and the essence of love and forgiveness that you would have for us to be. Thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. We not only want to be remiss about Brother Charles and other deaths that have taken place, but we want to also say a word out to the Queen of Soul and her family, Aretha Franklin, services. In grandiose fashion, have changed that corpse of a body colors 3 times. So, Father, we ask you to continue to bless that family as they continue to go forward and be with the world as it continues to embody a lifetime of work of 60 years and appreciate it and understand that the gift came from you. And so if we're going to do anything that Aretha said, we need to give you R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And then we want to thank you for the life of a hero, Senator John McCain, who, no matter what your political party is, he was an example of what it meant to be an American to all mankind. Father, we thank you for his life. We understand the difficulties of him being a hostage, but we thank you for carrying him through that and rather than him turn his back on his country, he decided to serve even more. He turned that anger and turned that difficulty. He channeled it into an avenue where he'll be able to make a difference as a senator. And so we thank you for that, Father. We're praying for his family as they continue to pick up the pieces and go forward. We're praying for Congress, Father, that they will understand the brevity of life, that life is but a vapor, and that it only appears for a little while, that you can change the atmosphere with a blink of an eye. And you can take our life with a raindrop if you so choose. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, we adore you. And if our patriotism is to anything, it needs to be allegiance to you. Thank you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Let's collectively say amen, amen, and amen again. Let us prepare ourselves for the communion. But alas, I needed my Savior bleed, and need my soul then. and I would he devote that sacred head for such a one as I. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
We find in your word in Acts 27 that upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. The Apostle Paul picks up his pen in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, beginning in verse 23, says, "For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had broken it and given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And after he supped, he said that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. But let a man examine himself. For he that eateth the bread and drinketh the cup unworthily, for he eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many were sick and made weak among them." Father God, thank you for this bread, which is your broken body, and this cup, which is your shedded blood. We pray we take it with clean hands and a pure heart as we look to Jesus as the author and the finisher of our faith. All these blessings we ask in Jesus. Let us say amen. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. It was at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am a happy all the day. Amen. We also have online giving. So if you would like to make a love donation or through a tithe and offering, you can do it two ways. You can send a cash app to $GCOC1, or you can do it through our website. Go to www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. That will be www.golgothachurchofchrist.com. And go on to the More tab under Donations. And you will see that you have an opportunity to either make a love offering or make a tithe offering at that point in time. Amen, somebody. Let's get to the Word of God. I don't know about you, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful day. It's been a trying week, but God has carried us through it all. In spite of the difficulties of life, in spite of the brevity of life, our God is still sound. He's still a strength, and he's still a Christ for all crises. God is better to us than we've ever been to ourselves. So let's lean on his everlasting arm. Let us glean the strength that he has for us. And let us encourage one another beyond compare. For there's too many pessimists and not as many optimists that will know the goodness of God's grace. Pray with me to the ninth chapter of the book of John. Around verse number 39, after Jesus heals a man that was born blind, and they chastised Jesus for they said that he ate and washed his hands with sinners. Jesus healed the man, and their problem was that they healed him on the Sabbath day. And so Jesus had to let them understand a few things. Let's start reading around verse 13 of 9, and we'll just kind of let the Bible speak for itself. John chapter 9, verse 13, I'll be reading from the Holman Standard Bible, and you can read from your translation. The Bible says, they brought the man who used to be blind to the Pharisees. The day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes was a Sabbath. It would have been a Saturday, Friday night or Saturday, after 6 p.m. So again, the Pharisees asked him, saying, now, how he received this sight. He put mud on my eyes, he told them. I watched and I can see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he doesn't keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a sinful man perform such signs? Controversy, right? And there was a division among them, squabbling over the Sabbath day versus this man being healed. Can I deny the fact that the man can see? Look at verse 17. Again, they asked the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he's a prophet. The Jews did not believe this about him, that he was blind and received sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had received his sight. They asked them, is this your son, the one you say was born blind? How then does he now see? We know this is our son, and that he was born blind, his parents answered. But we don't know how he now sees. And we don't know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they were afraid of the Jews, since the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him as Messiah, he would be banned from the synagogue. This was why his parents said he's of age. Ask him. Many times we get in trouble because we of influence. We don't want to stand strong. Because of influence, we won't say what needs to be said. Because they don't want to be ostracized. They can't handle the heat of ostracism. Therefore, they say, ask him, he's of age. Let him answer for himself. Verse 24, so a second time they summoned the man who had been blind and told him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether or not he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I can see. Strong testimony. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I already told you, he said, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You don't want to become his disciples too, do you? They ridiculed him. You're that man's disciple? But we're Moses' disciples. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he's from. This is an amazing thing, the man told them. You don't know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. You were born entirely in sin, they replied. And you are trying to teach us? Then they threw him out. Isn't it interesting that when you have an actual experiential testimony, the people who think they've been around longer than you, or even they have age older than you, or they feel that they've been in something longer than you, that they will just refuse to listen to you. Well, God can use anybody, even this man that was born blind, that had just received the miraculous miracle of God, is now pronosticating a testimony for those to see, an example, a masterpiece that cannot be questioned. You may question whether this man or Jesus, who has served him, was a sinner or not. But you cannot question the miracle that this man was blind and he now sees. And you know that miracle can only come from God and from no one else. So why don't we use our educated mind, our sanctified mind, and put two and two together and say Jesus is from God? Because if you do that, now you have to proclaim him as Messiah. And they didn't want to do that. So they was looking for someone else who they wasn't looking for Jesus. Look at verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out of the synagogue, he found him and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? Let me park right there. See, God knows where you're at all times. Nothing you're going through, God don't know. When everybody else mistreats you, when everybody else throws you out, when everybody else don't come through, God finds you where you're at and poses the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in Jesus? Look at verse 36. Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him, he asked. Jesus answered, you have seen him, in fact. He is the one speaking with you. I believe, Lord, he said, and he worshiped him. When he was blind, he had no idea who it was that healed him. They questioned him, and he had no idea and no answer for who healed him. And even with no answer, they ostracized him and put him out. Jesus meets him in an out place. Jesus meets him where folks didn't come through. Jesus connects with him and lets him know, now you can see who healed you. When he says, I'm the one, there was no hesitation, because the man who had never saw is now looking on who healed him. Yes, I believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. Jesus says, I came into this world for judgment, verse 39, in order that those who did not see will see, and those who do not see will become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, we are blind too, are we? Jesus told them, if you were blind, you wouldn't have sinned. Now that you say we see, your sin remains. I assure you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave this illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So powerful a piece right here, because the shepherd, the ideal shepherd, is the one that knows his sheep by name, and they listen to him. When he calls them, they ain't arguing and hesitating. They follow him. He goes out in front of them when they're all out and leads them, and they follow their shepherd. But they don't follow the voice of someone who seems strange to them. This is a depiction of the church, where there are wolves in sheep clothing, and there are true sheep that are vulnerable of being attacked by wolves. Look what Jesus says in verse 7. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it more abundantly or in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own his sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired man and doesn't care about the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I am laying down my life so I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The testimony of a shepherd. It's one thing to follow. And it's another thing to follow by obedience. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and he's not hired. He's there to work with them and gives up his life in sacrifice for his sheep. Nurtures them, lends them. Sometimes I have to get up in the middle of the night, or I have to go out in all hours to find them, to help them, to nurture them. But a hired man is only there for a check. And so if the check don't come through, they run away. That's the love of money, which the Bible tells us is the root of all evil. But that's not shepherdhood. Jesus says, no one had to pay me. I came so that you may have life and have it more abundant. Such a blessing to know and to experience and actually to be able to see what true shepherdess is from. Shepherding is all about, because it's not a matter of just folks huddled in a pen or framed up in an area. It ain't a matter of shouting hallelujahs and singing all day. It's a matter of living a life that will be pleasing and acceptable to God, and walking in obedience, walking in humility, and walking in innocent holiness. It's a lifestyle less of chaos, because the good shepherd will fight your battles. It's one that is built on trust, and one that will follow the shepherd wherever the shepherd says. Sheep don't try to leave shepherd, and the shepherd ain't trying to follow the sheep. That's out of proportion. That's an oxymoron. Jesus gives us the example that once he calls them all out of the sheep pen, and they're all standing at attention, ready to hear instruction, he walks out in front of them, and they follow him naturally. Oh, may I hesitate to say that if folks are not following you naturally, that person may not be your sheep. And so what you need to understand is that if you're doing all you can and giving all you are is what God has made you to be, a shepherd, and you're sacrificing, you don't have to worry, because couldn't save everybody. And there appeared to be, even in his day, much controversy, even in religion. Satan is magnified and super magnified that even to this day, that you don't know what folks look like. You have to follow the diagram of what they do, because people will tell you all kinds of things. Folks will tell you they love you and won't understand the difference between phileo love and agape love. When a person loves you beyond compare, when they love you by agape love, I mean they love you in spite of, and that they will be there. And when you realize that love, and you feel real agape love, you don't want to be outside of that. You don't want to miss that. That's a connection between, must not be tampered with by Satan. But anytime someone else can get in to the mind or the ears and mess up the flock, so discord and division, that's a hireling. That's not of God. Remember Jesus in Psalm 23? Turn over there for those of you. Most people quote it, but I don't want us to miss it, because I'm reading from Holman's translation. I want to make sure that we have it. the good shepherd. Testimony of a good shepherd. David says, David, a king of royal stature, a man after God's own heart, recognizes that he too must lean, he too must follow in soldier-like obedience, and he too must humble himself in the sight of the Lord. So David says, even though folks are following me, and even though I'm a king, I'm a shepherd to many, he says, let me let you understand where my shepherding comes from. And he pins these words in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and there is nothing I lack. He paused there. Because some of us are so caught up and things we want out of this world that we cannot really see that God has provided everything that we need in this world. And so there's a struggle because Satan is using this world, the fabrication of this world, the elasticity of this world to confuse you. And as long as you're looking through these worldly eyes and not the eyes of God, or as Brother Gilbert said, the eyeglasses of God, the spectacles of God, then there's no way that you can see how God wants you to see. David says, I had a struggle with earthliness, with my human side. He says, but when I have to elevate, I have to put on a different set of eyeglasses so I can see as God sees. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. How many of us can say that to this day, that you don't lack anything with God on your side? Amen, somebody. I can raise my hand. Amen, somebody. I learned. Oh, I may not have a T-bone steak in front of me, but a salmon croquettes are good at any point in time. And so, it's just a good thing to have a crack every once in a while. To have something that will fill your belly every once in a while. It's a good thing the Lord will provide what you exactly need in your time of struggle. That you lack nothing, including hunger. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. He renews or refreshes my life. And he leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Why? Because his reputation is on the line. God will not lead you somewhere that he's not pleased. And if you're walking in disobedience, there's no way you're walking in God. Because God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. So I've learned that if I have to stand alone, I'm still not standing alone because God is by my side. And so I can stand. I can be content. I don't have to be among the sheaves of people. As long as God is with me. Me and God are a majority. And as I get older, I'm looking for less confusion. So I too can lie down beside still water. Be refreshed and have him lead me in the paths of righteousness. He says, even when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. not by myself. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Tools of a shepherd, used to do shepherding. God uses what he needs to for his sheep to be comforted. David recognized that there was a time when he too must humble himself and be comforted by the good shepherd. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. It runneth over. See, only you, God, can prepare that table. And it says in the presence of mine enemies. The problem is we don't know who our enemies are because many of our frenemies are enemies. Amen, somebody. But God will give you discernment that you will see that those that really love you will be there when you need them. They'll stand with you even if it causes them discomfort. Or you remember when, back in the day when it was you and your boys, or you and your girls, or when you used to hang tough, if one go down, we all go down. Right? Well, God says, I'm the same way. I've taught you that this is the way it is. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. If something goes off, I'll be there to handle the battle. So you can just be a sheep. See, the problem is that the world does not like meekness. And we live in a society of people that won't let you just be meek. Folks want to argue, go from 0 to 60 in less than 5 seconds the moment they see you. You've got to get away. You've got to push away so that you can have that dojo time with God. And you can be what God would have for you to be. If you don't, you will become callous like they are. And you'll find yourself walking as they do. If they leave you, God's still there. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. Only goodness and mercy. What? Faithful love is what mercy is. Love that's full of faith, that will pursue you all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. I'm going to tell you this. Since I've chosen God, there has been no better life. And even though folks will call you all kinds of names and denominational names and whatsoever else, I'm going to stay with God, stay with what I know, because he never fails. Sometimes your best friend don't come through. But God will never let you down. And I'm here to tell you, even today, that if you live a life with the Lord, that you too can have assured confidence. And you can shout when God shows up, even when you don't see him working on your behalf. Hope, trust, and pray this lesson has blessed you. If you're here today and you have something on your heart that you're struggling with, that you too have not either been a good shepherd or you too have not been a good sheep, that you can get it right even today with a good dose of repentance. Hope, trust, and pray that this lesson has blessed you among all ends. Remember to do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and him crucified. We thank you for those of you who have turned in through our Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting also in Canada and Norway, along with the continental United States and Chicagoland. We're so thankful to have you today on Fighting an Incarcerated Mind with the Incarnated Christ. My name is Pastor Mike Peavy with the Golgotha Church of Christ. Just want to be a good shepherd and a good servant for the Lord. And whenever that time comes that God calls me, it's His to call and mine to answer. And I pray that I've lived a life that will be exemplary of Him in these latter days. We love you. We adore you. Have a great day. And do something for somebody that they can't repay you for. Give them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Good night.